Okay. Here we are. Welcome back to Hey You Know It, episode 4. We're dealing with the holidays. I'm here. I'm Jaquetta Salmari, and I'm here with
Katie Casimir.
And we just had a lot of Red Bull. So we'll see. We'll see how this show goes.
Okay, we're here to tell you about the holidays and how to handle this tricky season.
Or seasons, yeah. Depending on how you roll. There's the holiday season now. It seems like it stretches from Halloween all the way until the end of Kwanzaa.
Right. If you have any ideas or suggestions that we didn't cover in the show, please email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Hey You Know It at Twitter and Hey You Know It Facebook as well. We're all over the place. So how do you, Katie Casimir, survive the holidays? How do you suggest that our fans survive?
There are some ways to make your life a little more efficient. Now, first one for me is I go to the store for holiday decorations, and then I come back with my loot and realize I already have the stuff at home. I have the wrapping paper. I have the lights, and I just bought it all again. It's a waste of time and money.
Bad for the environment.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Do you have a Christmas tree?
Yeah, I do. I get a Christmas tree. But I'll tell you, what I'm going to do every year now is right after the holidays, I'm going to throw out all my holiday decorations.
Good idea. Get it out. Clean it out. Sage it out.
Done. For the next season, I know I have nothing. So I can go out and buy again, and I don't waste my time rebuying when I'm buying
it's
for the first time.
It's kind of like a Socratic shopping method. You know that you have nothing.
Yes.
And you start from there. I like it. It's philosophical. Really, that's what the holidays are all about, is buying a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you use the word loot, and that's how I feel about the holidays.
Yeah.
My survival strategy for the holidays has been, ever since I was old enough to drive a car, is to go to Vegas. I think that you should spend the holidays in Vegas, because in Vegas, you get all the experiences of the holidays, the same rage.
You can get
the same joy.
Home.
Yeah. You can win, you can lose, you can draw, plus showgirls and free liquor, and probably a nicer room than what you'll get if you go home for the holidays.
Yeah, so, stay in your parents' basement.
Yeah, no, you could be staying at the Luxor. You could be staying Chris Angel.
Oh,
yeah.
Chris Angel.
Yeah.
Over your parents' musty cot.
So it's either, you know, drunk Uncle Fred makes a grab at you, or you go to see a master illusionist, Chris Angel, at the Luxor. I'm going to go with option two.
That's good, but if you do stay home, you know, you do have to go out shopping, and you have to go to the mall, and those parking spaces come at a premium. I would get out and save a spot by standing in it while my friends or whoever drove the car and got to the spot.
But that's, you know what, I find those people annoying, frankly.
No.
If you're not in a car, you shouldn't be in a parking spot.
Oh, so you think the parking space reservations can only be made by another car?
Yeah.
You can, if you're a person, that doesn't count.
Or, you know what, get yourself some of that yellow tape that the police have that says do not cross in a cone, and put that down.
Okay.
And then when you show up, just put that in the boot of your car.
Okay.
Also called the trunk in some places. And, you know, park. But I mean, you're standing in a spot and that's how you're reserving it?
Yeah.
Does that work?
Well, you can't stand there for an hour. You can stand there for a minute or two. But no, it usually doesn't work because somebody will try to park there anyway with you standing in the spot.
Okay, let me ask you a question now. Okay, you're reserving the spot for someone else who has a car.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your car? How did you get to the spot and they're not there?
You're with them. You're with them in the car.
And why don't they just park?
Because we see the spot from across the way. And so someone has to run out and get it.
So you have to get out and you're booking it.
Right.
Now, has there ever been a situation where you see several people on foot hoofing it towards the same spot?
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
That's something I would stay in town for. If I saw people busting chops to get to a parking spot with no car.
What you can see, if you see somebody standing in a spot, is a car coming in to bumper tap their legs.
That would be my car.
Yeah. Yeah, but if they do run, if they run you down, you can sue them. But I don't know if you would win because there's so much rage against finding a parking spot.
So let me get this. You're standing alone in your human skin in a spot.
Uh-huh.
And you're going head to head with, this is the suburbs, right? So
yeah.
This is going to be something the size of a small aircraft.
Correct.
Of an angry woman who needs to buy this year's Furby.
Right.
And you want to preserve the spot. Now, at this time, is your friend, or the person who has the car, are they just circling, hoping to get back to you in time to get to the spot?
Yes, they're trying to get in line with the cars, you know, get ahead of the other cars and get to that spot in time.
I have the same problem at the holidays in Vegas at the buffets because it gets nuts. And when you see, all I'm saying is if you see a bunch of black people on one side and crab legs on the other, don't get in between. Just don't. God.
What is the proper buffet line queue? Do you have to, like, get in at a certain point and go around the whole buffet, or can you cut in for the things that you want?
I just go straight for the shrimp and the crab legs, and then I just dart in and dart out.
Okay, darting is acceptable.
I don't go around. I go up first. I walk around. I make a plan, and then I go back and I execute. I pick off, you know, one at a time. Because the buffets are huge, and if you go the entire buffet the first time, by the time you get to the end, the stuff that you have on your plate's cold.
Right.
So you have to work section by section, just like you're doing a weave.
Okay.
Piece by piece, you know, and get what you need to get and then get out.
Got it.
Has anyone ever tried to muscle you out of your parking spot while you're standing there?
Yes, I have had that happen to me. I've been bumper tapped before, and I was a lot younger, so I didn't quite know what to do except get out of the way. And
that was the right thing.
Like at the time.
Did you exchange words?
No, because I didn't want to speak to somebody who would try to run somebody over while smiling.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, smiling, wow. A big grin because she was bearing down on me physically with her car and smiling.
At 0.03 miles an hour, just nudging you along.
Yeah.
So. You know what? I like her style, I got to say. I mean, you tried to stand your ground, but then at the end, she got the parking spot. And did she kind of give like a yeah or something like that? Or she just went on her merry way?
Oh, she was thrilled. She was absolutely thrilled. And I got away from her. That was it.
So Katie Zero, smiling, bumper tap. Woman one for the holidays.
Unfortunately.
Do you see why I say Vegas people?
Yeah. Well, what about your families? Holidays?
Who?
People that you're related to? Yeah. I mean, if you're in Vegas, you're not really spending time with them, but.
Yes.
But if you do, you know, there's another. You have to. People sometimes don't get along. Let's face the facts here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the idea for how the holidays works is that you get together with your family, right? And you have a good time. You have a meal, you have a few drinks. Mm-hmm. That's how it's supposed to go. But we know it doesn't really work out that way. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to deal with that.
So there's always somebody offensive.
Yeah, there's someone always offensive. And what I say is, if you have to, all the flights to Vegas are booked, you can't get a hotel room, you can't get out of town, you got to do a family thing. Mm-hmm. I say you be that offensive person.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too.
I say you show up there, you make an inappropriate grab for someone.
Be proactive.
Yeah. You pre-party, mm-hmm. Get drunk beforehand, come in, burst open the door, knock over a food item, pee on the floor, pass right out. No one is going to top that. Uncle Fred is not going to top that.
I was just going to say, before you pass out, you can have a list of pre-planned questions to make everyone uncomfortable.
Okay.
More uncomfortable than you.
So you could ask your gender non-specific cousin if she's dating a man or a woman.
Right. Any kind of sex-related questions are huge at a family gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask anyone, how is your sex life?
Yeah.
Just say that to your brother and his wife.
Yeah. Or you could ask, so how's that parole working out? I see they let you out for the holidays. Anything that might bring up things that would be uncomfortable. This is before you. Do this before you pass out.
Right. That's perfect.
And after you urinate on the carpet or whatever you're going to do, throw up.
And with drinking, there's no bad situation alcohol can't make worse. So, yes, do drink.
Yes. And I would say, that's what I'm saying, pre-party. Don't wait till you get there, because I've had situations where a holiday, you show up and you think it's going to be a party and there's nothing there but a bottle of Hennessy and a bottle of Manischewitz. I can't work with that. I need a little more. You know?
You can ask a cousin too, hey, did we ever do it?
Oh. Wow.
That will clear
the room.
Right.
I think you do that before the bird is carved.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
You know? You do that at a fake whisper. Hey.
No, like an alcoholic stage whisper. Hey. We ever do it?
Kind of like Dudley Moore in Arthur. You know what? I was thinking about that, speaking of alcoholics, and I pulled that up on, and do this yourself, I pulled it up on IMDb, and I watched the trailer for Arthur. There is nothing funny about that man. He is a fall-down drunk.
It's a tragic story.
It's horrible. He's propositioning hookers on the street. He's falling out of cabs. And then the most tragic part of all, Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, as a codependent poor girl.
Yeah. Bit of a hustler who steals.
Yeah.
What's funny about that?
It's nothing, but it's hilarious for some reason.
Because it was the 80s.
Okay.
Because it was the 80s.
Oh, Arthur.
Yeah. Well,
that wasn't good, Liza Minnelli, but...
Well, you know...
That's
as good as it's going to get, I think. I'm definitely not going to do my Dudley Moore, R.I.P. Anyway, back to the holiday. Was that a holiday film? It could be.
It could be.
At someone's house.
Definitely the drinking part of
it. Yeah, the drinking part.
Okay, we have pros and cons, and my question is, do you have to participate in the holidays? I think that, yes, you have to. And...
Which holidays?
Oh, all of them. By the way, everybody, Google the holidays in December. There is a holiday every single day from Wear Brown Shoes Day to Eat a Red Apple Day.
Kwanzaa,
Christmas.
Hanukkah, sometimes Hanukkah. If we're lucky, Hanukkah gets in there
at
that time of year.
And so there's the majors and the minors, but you can celebrate something every day. And I challenge you, listeners, to try once in your life.
I'm sorry, did you say Brown Shoe Day?
Yep.
Okay, just clearing that up.
Yeah. Feast of the Souls of Dead Whales. That's another holiday in there, too. I say...
Whales the country?
No. Dead whales that swim in the ocean.
Okay, like blue whales and narwhals, this kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Celebrate each of these holidays every day. Try to get every single holiday celebrated, and you'll be so busy that the next year, whatever one holiday you celebrate won't seem like much. That's...
Seems kind of a difficult way to evade the holidays. So you're saying celebrate more holidays more often during the holiday season as a way to cope with the holidays.
Yeah, just try it once. And then for the rest of your life, the holidays won't be as bad.
So you overdo it. It's kind of like with your first time having tequila.
Right.
Or if you get caught smoking cigarettes and then they make you smoke a whole pack, you will never smoke again.
That's exactly it.
All right.
There's a good one. There's the Feast of St. Nicholas on December 6th. The night before, you should put out your shoes, and in the morning, they should be filled with candy.
There's I think in Holland, they celebrate one where a black dude...
Yes, this is it. St. Nicholas comes. That's the Feast of St. Nicholas. He's supposed to come to your house along with his sidekick, who goes by the name of Krampus or Black Peter. And Black Peter or Krampus, however you call
Krampus.
Him, he helps each child examine his conscience.
That's not what I heard. I heard that if you're not good in whatever country this is, that Santa comes around. And if you're found not to be good, I mean,
I guess... like 8 black guys come with him?
Yeah, and I guess examine is in quotes, and conscious is in quotes. I think you get a beat down by 6 or 7 brothers.
That's for Christmas in that country.
Yeah.
I forget which country
here, it is. Here we try to sanitize it by saying you get a lump of coal, but we all know what that means.
Right. The coal is the condensed version
Krampus.
Of 8 black men.
Yeah, mini Krampus in rock form. Are you kidding me? The holidays.
Okay, so we're going to...
Black Peter? Black Peter. Wow. I mean, that is the worst euphemism I've ever heard for the genitalia of an African-American male. In the European context. What a world we live in. All right. Black Peter. You heard it here. Black Peter.
Okay, so...
That should be a song. We got to do a Christmas song with Black Peter.
Maybe Faith No More can record it.
Or we could do a house song. Black Peter.
Black Peter.
And that's it. That's the entire... Black Peter.
Black Peter.
That's it.
Okay. All right. We're going on to how people think stuff works and how it really works.
Okay.
All right. I've got... this is about your dinner parties during the holidays.
Okay.
If you have a dinner party, they say you have to separate couples, alternate the sexes.
Really?
Yeah. Invite good conversationalists. And also think politically, meaning consider who is going to be the mouthiest.
Okay.
And don't sit them next to people who are going to be that offended.
That's hard.
What they have to say. Exactly. Now, I got a couple of things. Who has dinner parties?
I don't know. The rich?
Just because you have a dining room table, does it give you the power to play God and put people, you know, next to each other?
Who has a dining room table?
That's what I'm saying.
We stand, and eat. We eat on the hoof in my place if we're having a dinner party. That way, people can mingle. I think a dinner party using a table, first of all, it's incredibly old-fashioned that we need to move away from sitting while we're eating. But it confines each person to being in one spot. There's no mingling.
Yeah.
If you're stuck next to some crazy, you know, Tea Party, Hayek-loving economist-type person, you're stuck there for the whole evening.
Absolutely.
I think maybe musical chairs is the way it should go if you're going to have a dinner party.
Oh, okay.
So that everybody gets a chance to...
To move around. Do you take your plate with you when you move?
No. You don't. I mean, that mixes up. It's like, oh, not only am I sitting next to another person, but now I have fish.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah. And it's just really a kind of a surprise dinner party.
I love it.
And one person should be blindfolded.
The whole time?
I'm not going to say why. I'm just going to put it out there. Yeah. Happy holidays. That's how we do Kwanzaa in my house. With the blindfolded musical chairs dinner party.
So, hey, we got an email.
Cool. And like I said, we've been getting so many emails. We have had to pick, you know, what we think are some of the best ones. But still continue to send us emails at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
All right. And this asks, what was your best and worst Christmas present?
Okay.
I don't know, guys, if you want to hear this. My worst gift was... reusable maxi pads.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even want to know who that was from.
Yeah.
But was the person some kind of eco-feminist terrorist person?
That person...
Why would you give someone something like that?
That person was a family member, and the heart was in the right place, but it was a totally inappropriate stage. And it was offensive to comment on somebody else's hygiene, saying, hey, why don't you use these? And yeah. It's disgusting, by the way. If you had to pollute the planet...
That's a good way to do it.
Feminine products are the way to go.
Yeah.
You can't... Don't argue with me on
that one. I don't... I'm not one to try to reuse a tampon.
Right.
Under any circumstances. I'm 100% behind you on that, and I'm sorry that that happened.
Thank you.
The worst gift I've ever gotten was undoubtedly... A three-pack, and this kind of goes where you were, a three-pack of classes on how to use a stripper pole.
What?
I don't need to be told how to use a stripper pole, people. I think I'm pretty familiar with that, and I think I could work my way around the stripper pole. I don't know... first of all...
Why three classes? Why three? Why not one to try it out? Why not 10 to get proficient
at
it?
Well, this is what I'm saying.
Why three?
Three classes is really not enough to do anything. I mean, in three classes, you get to learn how to use the pole. You could maybe start to work on a routine. But three classes, it's like giving someone, you know, a couple of bites of a sandwich. And there you go. That's it. And you're done.
Yeah. So it's a little more than a taste, but not enough to satisfy you.
Yeah. I personally, I'm against buying gifts for the holidays, for all of the holidays. But I think that if you do have to get someone a gift, I think the best place to get a gift from is Sky Mall. I love Sky Mall.
Sky Mall.
If you need some stairs for your pet, for a small pet to get up to a couch, or if you need a self-massaging device, or glasses that can both take a picture, take a video, light things in front of you, and spy on someone, there are just so many awesome things in Sky Mall. I was just on a plane, and I managed to get one of the Sky Mall magazines. It's awesome.
So you recommend Sky Mall shopping for all your needs?
Yeah.
Sky Mall.
Sky Mall. Brought to you by SkyMall.com. I love Sky Mall. You can laugh at it, but there's some good stuff in there. And if you come
what's the difference? But what's the difference with any other like website or any store that you can go to and get things? How come it's Sky Mall? What do they...
Well, Sky Mall really is just like an aggregate awesome website. Like if we come up with an idea,
mm-hmm.
for example... I don't know, kind of a inflatable bra.
Okay.
You know, that can, it's also a personal flotation device, or maybe you could put stuff in it, you could put a beer in it, whatever.
Hide money.
Whatever. Okay. Yeah. We could put that on Sky Mall very easily.
Okay.
And then we could get most of the money from it.
Hey.
Sky Mall is just kind of an open libertarian platform for the modern inventor. You know, you don't have to jump through any hoops, and you just go right to Sky Mall with your bizarre invention.
You're selling me on Sky Mall.
It's great.
Ugh.
I mean, they do have a website, but really the beauty of Sky Mall is in the publication. It's about 200 pages of just solid pewter ideas.
It's joke time.
Okay, I got some good jokes. I hate to say, you know, put on a helmet, but here we go. A woman went to the post office to buy some stamps for her Christmas cards. What denomination do you want? Asked the lady at the counter. Good Lord, the woman replied. Has it come to this? I suppose you'd better give me 20 Catholic and 20 Presbyterian.
Yeah, that's good. That's funny enough.
Yeah, and it's concise.
I like it.
How much is a Presbyterian? Is that the 2 cent stamp, the add-on stamp?
That
is it the forever stamp?
No. No. The Catholic stamp is probably the forever stamp.
Okay.
Because then there were offshoots of Catholicism, which were the Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
So there are any kind of additional postage that you need.
Now, I thought a Presbyterian, I mean, in addition to being obviously a stamp and a religion, is also a drink. I think it's a ginger ale and gin.
Gin.
Yeah. Gin. How did you know that it was gin?
It was gin because obviously gin
is the whitest drink.
Gin is also the most unnatural drink.
So are we going to say the Presbyterian stamp is probably a 2 cent stamp?
Yeah.
For adding your 2 cents.
Yes.
That's a Presbyterian saying, to get your 2 cents in. Yeah.
There you go. See, it all fits just...
Well, would other religions have stamps too? Or would you be able to satisfy, you know, a mailing with just Catholic and Presbyterian? Like I'm thinking, you know, maybe there could be a Methodist stamp.
Do you want the mail to get to where it's supposed to be?
Good idea. All right. Enough said.
I've got.
Do you have a joke also?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Santa and his reindeer landed on top of an outhouse. As they skidded to a halt, Santa shouted, "I said the Schmidt house."
You want to do that one again for me or? The Schmidt house.
The Schmidt house. Because it was an outhouse and...
And they landed on it. But the problem with this joke for me is that how many reindeer are there in this thing going on now?
There's always the 8 and then Rudolph. So there's 9 and the sled and the guy.
And so they all managed to... This is one hell of an outhouse to get a sleigh full of presents for the entire world plus 8 reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
And he's complaining that it's the wrong place. Do you see what I mean? Personally, if I were one of those reindeer, I'd be like, look, we're on here. You better deliver something.
Right.
Stop messing about. Are you kidding? We'll go to the Schmidt house next. Who cares? We got to hit every house. You going to skip this one?
I just like outhouses due to the fact that my grandmother did not have indoor plumbing, or her parents didn't have indoor plumbing. And when she was in utero, her mother was going into labor but didn't realize it and thought she just had to go to the bathroom. Instead of going out to the outhouse, they pulled out the chamber pot and dropped Grandma into it.
Wow.
Realizing that was, it was labor, was not a bowel movement.
Quick and efficient.
Right. And so then her brothers then called her Queen of the Schmidt House. She was born on Christmas Eve, and that's a fact. So that's all I want to say. Very good.
All right. I like your joke.
Good. All right. So going along, the next segment is called Advice on Advice, where we read advice someone gave.
They tried to give, I should say. Some of this advice is, frankly, scandalizing.
Yes. So we take that advice and give advice on what they should have said.
Yeah. How they should have said it.
It's in concentrated form.
Yeah. So I got a piece of advice here. This is from drdating.com. The single guy's guide on how to survive the holidays. So he's got some advice here. The advice opens with, let's face it. Now, you know this isn't going to be good. If I'm like, hey, how's it going? Let's face it. So that's the wrong delivery method. Start off nice. Hey, how you doing? Want to hear some news? Want some advice? No.
Nice day out.
Yeah. Let's face it. When you're single and the holidays are coming, people usually take pity on you. Right? So then he goes on to tell him, you know, you can go to all the holiday parties in town. If that's single, it usually means you don't have any strict plans for the holidays. In other words, you're working with a flexible schedule. You can spend money buying gifts for yourself rather than for your significant others. Who wants to do that during the holidays? Exactly. Alternatively, you can put money in the bank and savings and brag to your friends about how big your bank account is. While they're still paying for the jewelry that they bought for their girlfriends.
Wow.
Yep. You can spend the holidays doing guy stuff. You don't have to eat frou-frou gourmet food. You can grab yourself a pizza, some burgers, or some booze.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is all still his advice?
This is his advice. You can stand under a mistletoe and kiss as many women as you want. Spend the holidays with other single friends. This is terrible advice. You know what? This, at the end of this, this advice should come with a noose.
Right. Exactly. You know? So going back to the part where he doesn't have to buy anything for anyone and he can brag about how much money he has.
Yeah. This is someone, this is like, okay, you're single and you have a few friends and you want to get rid of them.
Right.
That's how you get rid of your friends.
Get rid of your friends and become the protagonist in Scrooge.
Yeah. So brag about how big your bank account is while you're sitting at home in your underwear with a slice of pizza.
Alone.
Not paying for jewelry. And folks, jewelry will at least get you a hand job. Okay? It's not the worst thing in the world. This is terrible advice. You can stand under a mistletoe and kiss as many women as you want. Yeah. In 2010, mistletoe hanging all over the place. You're totally right. Just hang out under there because there are going to be tons of chicks waiting under the mistletoe for some single guy who smells like booze who doesn't want to buy them anything.
They're lining up to kiss you under the mistletoe.
The best part of the advice is, because I think the person who's giving the advice should show how they're qualified. This guy here, Rod Steiner, if that's his real name, is a 41-year-old dude and a veteran of the New York dating scene. You don't want that title.
Books himself as a veteran.
And he's still in the game.
War? Mm-hmm. Did he go to boot camp?
I don't know. Oh. I'm telling you, at 41, he's probably near the end.
Yeah.
Of that, you know? I'm not impressed. He's a featured writer at drdating.com, his own website.
So he has a degree.
He's featured on his own website. And it's one of the most complete sources on internet dating and internet dating advice.
As he says.
Yeah, that's according to him. Oh, I think this advice is terrible. Look, if you're single for the holidays, strip club. I don't know why that was number one on there.
It's fantastic. Bam. That's fantastic. Now we're going on to discount celebrity.
Oh, we're going over to Celebrity Corner once again. I feel like we should have some music to play us over there.
Yeah, right.
I wish we did. Maybe we'll add some music later.
So what's our discount celebrity? What are we...
Okay, well, this one was tough because it's holidays, you know, and I'm not a big holiday fan. And I was trying to find some celebrities who had been in some holiday movies. And so I came up with two people. Vince Vaughn, who you know. And then someone who you may not know. At all. I barely knew who he was. I had to do extensive amount of research to find this guy. Patrick Van Horn. He is a friend of Vince Vaughn, and he has been in both Swingers and Four Christmases, and he was in one of my husband's favorite movies, which is Free Enterprise. He had a very small scene in that. And I'm saying Van Horn is serving Vaughn at a mere 17%
of his salary, that's probably
generous.
I think that's generous.
Now, I think about it. We're gonna have to go down the single digits here, people.
I think it's more like 4%.
Yeah.
You know, but Peter Van Horn could surprise us, and he could.
It's actually Patrick.
Oh,
Patrick Van Horn.
See,
I'm gonna say that Patrick Van Horn is serving a modicum of Vince Vaughn. At a mere 4%.
Okay.
You know what? They've got similar hair, and that's two of their 4% that he's getting.
Right.
They're friends. That's another 1%. And they both have a V in their name.
Okay.
That's the last 1%.
But in the future, how could it go? Do you think he's trying to pull an All About Eve, and he's trying to eclipse Vince Vaughn and take over? Or would he be the kind of guy, is he going to, like, completely kiss his ass just for bit parts for the rest of his life?
I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that you bring up All About Eve, because I love that.
I do, too.
But I think where Patrick is in relation to Vince is going to be, like, somewhat about Eve. Like, possibly in the future alluding to Eve. Because he's really got... And you know, he's a good-looking guy.
Okay.
But we got Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. But if you can't get him...
If you can't get him.
Then you're going
to
get this
guy. He's kind of... Patrick Van Horn is to Vince Vaughn as Richard Grieco was to Johnny Depp.
Right.
Here's another quote. I really like comedy that brings people together. There's a lot of mean-spirited, acidic comedy out there, he says.
Is there?
Yeah. I find that he sticks to this because a lot of his films are really uplifting. The Wedding Crashers?
Yeah. The gentle humor of The Wedding Crashers where they...
The uplifting, crowd-pleasing, foot-tapping candor of old school.
Oh, right. Where they treat everybody with respect and there's nothing wrong.
Comedy at its best, he says, can be healing. Aww. I mean, I know I felt healed after seeing old school a couple times.
I did, too.
And then he did that great romantic comedy.
The Four Christmases?
No, the other one.
The
Couples?
Fred Claus?
Fred Claus? No, the other one. The one that he got a nomination for.
The Couples Retreat?
Yeah, Couples Retreat. That was great. That was great.
That was healing. Yeah, everybody was breaking up in that. I guess that was a healing.
Well, I mean, somewhat. Four Christmases was okay.
Is he, to you, dastardly or disarming?
He was both. It was like it went back and forth. I mean, it was levels. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So at first, you're like, what a dick. And then a few minutes in, you're like, this guy's awesome.
He's charming.
And
then later on, like,
what a douche. You know what I mean? Like, it goes back and forth. He keeps it. He mixes it up. He keeps it lively. If you were going to have a party and you're talking about the guests mm-hmm. and the musical, Vince Vaughn.
Oh, okay. So he can really punch you in the face, yet put the stake on your eye to sue that afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, I really feel like, you know, you got everything there. You got 100%. Now, Patrick Van Horn, I don't know if I would know if I met him.
I don't know. I probably did meet him.
I would say, though, if you're having that party and you just, and Vinny is busy, mm-hmm. he can't come. Maybe ask Patrick to Twitter his way. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know if he needs to show up to the party, but you know, at 4%, you know,
right.
You're not gonna lose much. My final rant on the holidays is: holidays are for the rich, the religious poor, or those with children. The rest of you need to get yourselves to a titty bar in Vegas for the holidays, because that's where it's at. I'm telling you, don't waste your time. If you have a lot of money, sure. Sure, you're into the buying presents for everybody. You know, lavishing people with this and that and the other. And going out to Cipriani's and, you know, slumming it down on the Lower East Side and doing, you know, flying here and flying there. Fine, that's great. You want to get a 50-foot Christmas tree? Enjoy, Mr. and Mrs. Rich. On the other hand, if you're religious and poor, this works for you, because then you can, you know, do the reason for the season thing, which doesn't cost you any money. You can get together and, you know, do whatever you do, have your little vigils and whatnot, and eat your little meal. If you have kids, they're going to get caught up in the whole Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, gift-giving, festivities thing, because they push it in the schools. But if you do not fall into those categories, go to Vegas. You're going to get a great room, a great buffet, and you might win some money, which is more that will happen to you than if you stay at home, especially for Kwanzaa people. Do not fool yourself. Get on out there for Kwanzaa in Vegas. That's my final rant on that.
Very good.
Thank you.
And I've got something to say, too. I just want to talk about religion. Okay, most religions celebrate something in December, but they secretly think that their holiday is being infringed on by the other religions. The major bullet point of the season shared by all of these religions is that they are to be charitable to others at this time of year, as opposed to the rest of the year. I say egg them on. Give them a chance to flex their tolerant religious muscles, okay? Say Happy Hanukkah to a Catholic. Talk about the birth of Jesus in a New York deli. Or simply show up at Christmas Mass. Those who go to church all the time resent religious tourists who show up on the high holy days and take up their favorite seats in the pews.
Yeah, the seats in the front closer to God.
Yeah, yeah. And for them to be inconvenienced by your presence in the church, it makes them feel holier. So by all means, do it. One other thing I have to address is Christmas cards. And good newsletters, Lord. All right? I really do love receiving them. I do.
I want to hear about every little thing that happened to you over the past 12 months, including little Jimmy's boo-boo.
I love it. And I know I love getting the pictures, but you got to stop just sending pictures of your kids. I want to see you guys in the pictures, too, the parents. And I want to see a stage picture. I don't want to see the kid in front of the tree. I want to see an action shot of you guys throughout the year, what your life is like, around the dinner table, fighting with each other. You know, someone drunk and passed out while the kids are getting into, you know, the garbage can or something like that.
Yeah, a picture of Uncle Fred stealing your weed.
Yeah, a scenic pose. That's what I want to see. All right, so listeners, you can send us holiday cards. We would love to receive them. Email them to us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. In return, we at Hey You Know It are going to send you a Christmas card with our newsletter telling you what we've been doing all year.
Yeah. It should be about a paragraph or two.
Yeah, so send it to us anytime. And the cutoff date is January 6th. 2011.
Yeah, anything sent to us after that date will be destroyed summarily.
But we'll send you our holiday greeting right back at you on those dates.
All right, cool. So we'd like to all of our listeners out there, we'd like to wish them a Merry Christmas, a Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Mitten Day.
There's probably something with a solstice in there for you pagan people out mm-hmm. there. A Happy New Year. And for those of you who don't celebrate any of those things, let her ride.
And thank you, Cinema, Kim Audio,
and Red Bull, and SkyMall.com.
Yeah, and don't forget to email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.